can definitely do that. Well, we get to talk about angels today, right? Why are we talking about angels? Because it's Christmas time, right? So, I knew the person, I noticed I said person, that's already started listening to Christmas music would clap. I thought there might be a couple more, actually. Is there nobody else listening to Christmas music yet? Oh, yes, we have some people. All right, here's the music videos. Because we always talk about angels at Christmas time, right? Angels are everywhere at Christmas. It's like they're in our songs that we sing at Christmas, right? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. They're in our movies that we watch, some of our favorite movies, right? It's a Wonderful Life has an angel, right? The Bishop's Wife has an angel. All of these angels everywhere. The decorations that people start putting up in their homes. One time I was in this house and they had a little angel on skis. That was a decoration. And they had the nativity, you know, the little crash, and I always put the little angel on skis on the roof to like it was sliding down. But I never told the person. I don't think they liked it because every time I went back, it was moved back to the spot where it was. So that angel was moving around, right? Sometimes people put angels on the top of their trees. So this is a great time of year, right, to talk about angels because angels are also found all throughout the Bible. In fact, if we think about it, stop for a minute, there are probably more angels than we realize that appear all throughout the Word of God. And they have, their primary function of an angel is a messenger, okay? So that's what an angel means. It's a messenger of God. Just like at Christmas, the angel appeared to the shepherds, right? And gave this message of great joy that a Savior's been born in the city of David. And they sang glory to God in the highest. And actually it says they just said glory to God in the highest. But I guess when you're an angel, everything you do kind of sounds like singing, right? It's like those musicals that we love to watch where people just break into song. Never mind, I'm getting off track here. Anyhow, angels in the Bible bring messages from God. They stand in the presence of God. They serve God and they serve us. Sometimes they're warriors and they fight in spiritual battles for us. And angels have many different roles and functions, but primarily they bring the word of the Lord. They bring the presence of God wherever they go, okay? And so in this story, we meet one of the angels who actually has a name, Gabriel. And Gabriel is an angel that is found not only in the story we read today, but is also found in other cultures and religions as well. In the Jewish religion, the angel Gabriel in the book of Enoch, which is a book that's not in our Bible, but in the book of Enoch, there are four archangels that are mentioned. It's Gabriel and Michael and Raphael and Phanuel. And these are the archangels of God. And also in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, Gabriel appears in the book of Daniel, where Daniel is praying, and Gabriel is sent in response to Daniel's prayer to speak to him. Gabriel is also found in the religion of Islam. Muslims believe that the angel Gabriel is the one who gave the Quran to Muhammad. So that was the way that he received it. So in the three Abrahamic religions, Jewish religion, Christianity, and Islam, there is this idea that Gabriel brings the word of God, that Gabriel says what God is going to say. Now, Gabriel, sometimes when we think of Gabriel, he's often pictured with a horn. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that, Gabriel blowing his horn or his trumpet. Now, in the Bible, that's never mentioned anywhere. But it actually has a long history. It was first mentioned in the 1300s by this guy, John Wycliffe, who wrote about Gabriel the angel and said that he had a horn. And then in the 1500s, some Armenian art pictures Gabriel holding a long horn or a trumpet. And then in the 1600s, John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, he pictures Gabriel blowing his trumpet, blowing his horn, you know, signifying the resurrection of the dead, the coming of Christ. And of course, one of the most prominent places in our culture came from the African spirituals that were sung by the slaves when they were in bondage, when they were being oppressed. The image of Gabriel blowing his horn was a powerful image. In fact, it was some people in my parents' generation remember a musical called Anything Goes, and there was a song that sings Blow Gabriel Blow, about blowing his horn. So that's where we get this idea that somehow Gabriel is holding his horn. But what I'm concerned about today, what I'm interested in mostly, is what do we learn about Gabriel from what Joyce just read to us, from the passage in Luke. And for this time leading up to Christmas, we're going to be studying the first two chapters of Luke because they talk about the coming of the birth of Jesus Christ. And in this passage, this is what we learn about Gabriel. Gabriel is an angel who stands in the presence of God. He said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about how there are guardian angels, that it says the children have angels that stand on their behalf before the presence of God. And as such, when Gabriel comes, he brings that presence of God with him. It's like so intense, the glory that we just sang about, that when an angel comes, it's like the glory is just dripping off of them. There's like this glow. There's just so much of the glory, the power of the glory that comes with the presence of the angel. And he said, the Lord has sent me, so I am sent as a messenger to you to bring you the word of the Lord. So what Gabriel does is he speaks the word of the Lord. He speaks what God is going to do to Zechariah and reveals that to him. And while it's interesting to think about angels, I know one of the questions that comes up is, what about today? Are there angels today? Are there still angels around? Well, I would say that there are, because there are angels found all throughout Scripture. One of the things that the Bible teaches us about angels in the book of Hebrews and other places is that they exist, that they are different than human beings, that they are not exactly the same as human beings, that they are ministering spirits that are sent to serve those who've been appointed for salvation. That angels have an important role to play, but they're not God. The Bible's very clear, we're not supposed to worship angels or treat them like God. They are messengers of God. But neither are they quite people. You know, people don't necessarily turn into angels and angels into people. But I'm wondering, even as we sang the song, I see heaven, I see angels, you know, could we see angels even today? Well, when I was a small child, I believed that I saw some angels in my house. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I remember the night I was sleeping out in the living room on the couch. And don't judge me, I kind of wandered around as a kid. I got to get out of my bed, sleep in the couch, sleep in my brother's room. I just kind of, you know, I wind up on the floor sometimes. I don't know, it's just the way it was. But I was on the couch, and I remember seeing two figures in white that were walking through my house. And I couldn't really see any features, but they were human form, and they were walking through my house, talking to each other. And I had this sense of peace. I had a sense of security. And I don't really know, honestly, if they were angels or not, but I believe that they were, which I like. Several years later, when I was in my 20s, I was sharing that story with my dad. And my dad shared something with me he never had before. He said during that same time, he had a vision or a visitation from God that was very powerful and tangible. He really couldn't even speak about it. But he felt like God had visited him and assured him that things were going to be all right. And we discovered in our talk that it was about the same time. So it may have been, you know, that we actually experienced angels in that place, because angels are ministering spirits, Hebrews says, that are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. And I think that's a pretty cool thought, isn't it? Sometimes when someone comes along to help us, right, we say, oh, that person was an angel, right? Because they came along maybe out of the blue, maybe randomly, and they did something to help us. So on that connection between us and the angels, we are different. The angels don't get to receive the love and grace of God like we do. They don't have the relationship with God that we do. And in fact, that they don't even understand fully the relationship that we have with God. But sometimes we share roles, don't we? Because we as humans can help other people. We can be like an angel when we go and we help someone, when we serve someone, when we go out of our way to care for someone. We can be like angels. And we also can speak the word of God, can't we? And speaking the word of God is not just memorizing Bibles or passages or things, but one of the most amazing verses in the Bible to me is found in 1 Peter 4:12, where it says this: if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who is speaking the very words of God. Isn't that powerful? That it's actually possible when we're dwelling in the presence of God, when we're connected to that glory, that what we speak may actually be the words of God. It's a humbling thing. It's humbling. So in a very real way, the same way that in the book of Revelation, Jesus writes to the churches that exist, he writes to the angel of each church, the messenger of the word of God. So for better or for worse, I might be your angel at Hartford City Church. Might be a scary thought. Joyce is your angel too. We have a company of angels, you know. We're going to build a legion of angels. That's what we're going to do, amen? But that's a role that we can function in as angels. Here's another thing. Sometimes angels really do look like people. You ever thought about that? Take a look with me for just a minute at this verse from Hebrews. I think it's going to come up here. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Amen? That's the overarching command. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Wow. It's possible that there could be people that we don't know who are really angels in disguise. And then it goes on to say, this is just powerful to me right now, at this moment in time, Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So let's break that down for just a minute. Who are strangers? Strangers are people that are different than us, right? It's someone that is different than me. And this is such an important teaching this morning. This is such an important part of God's message, because we know that we are naturally drawn to people that are like us, right? We are naturally drawn to people that are like us. So a stranger, by definition, is someone who's not like me. Doesn't look like me. Doesn't talk like me. Doesn't sound like me. Doesn't maybe come from the same culture or the same background as me. That's the definition of a stranger. So a stranger is a bunch of different people that we can interact with, right? Immigrants to our country are strangers. People from another culture or background are strangers to me. People that are different in fundamental ways from me are strangers. And the Bible is clearly telling me that I should give them hospitality, for they might be angels in disguise. And not only that, not only strangers, those who are different, but those who are in prison, I should treat as if I were in prison with them. Why? Or those who are suffering, and many people are suffering today. Doesn't matter whether they brought it on themselves or not, I don't even know. It's not my place to judge. But if someone's suffering, if someone's hurting, then I should stand with them as if I were suffering myself. We need more people to do that, amen? But why? Because we know what Jesus taught in Matthew 25. He said, I am with these people that are ignored and overlooked. There you will find my presence. So of course there would be angels there, because they stand in the presence of God. They represent the presence of God, and they bring the word of God. So not only in prisons and where people are suffering, and among those who are strangers in the place where they live, is found Jesus Christ, but also his angels as well. And there's a word to us that it's quite possible that if we fail to show hospitality, we may actually not know that it was an angel, a messenger of God for us that we missed, that we didn't understand, right? So you see what I'm saying? You're following with me? I mean, we want to hear the voice of God, right? We want to know what God is saying. So all of this talk about angels is great. There's something way more important, amen? Who knows, there's something more important than angels even in this story. It's God, the one who sent the angels, right? It's God, and we need to know what God says, and we need to know about God from this passage in Luke. And what do we learn about God from this great story, this interaction? It's so full of drama and real life. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they're old, they're the ancient ones. I'm ancient, you know, I'm too old to have children. I mean, they've waited a long time, and then Gabriel appears to Zachariah. It's amazing, an amazing story. But what do we learn about God from this story about Gabriel, Zachariah, and Elizabeth? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about just for a few minutes this morning, okay? And here's what I want to share. I believe we learn about God from this story. One, that God hears our prayers. Amen? And you need to know that this morning. God hears your prayers. Two, he always reveals his plans. God reveals his plans to his people. His plans are amazing, more amazing than you can imagine, and his plans will be accomplished. Yeah, can I get an amen? Come on. Do we know that? God hears your prayers. God reveals his plans to you. His plans are amazing, and his plans will always be accomplished. And I think that's some pretty exciting good news, isn't it? I mean, Christmas is about joy, because the word that God brings is joyful, all right? So we need to get excited about this just a little bit, because it's really, really good news. It really is. It's an amazing display of joy that comes to us when we hear the word of the Lord. So number one, God hears our prayers. Isn't this amazing? Zachariah and Elizabeth have been praying all of their life together for a child. And God had not given them a child. A long time, they prayed. They must have been like us in that place where wondering if God was ever going to answer their prayer. Wondering if God had even heard them. You know, they remained faithful. They remained obedient. They continued to worship God. They continued to do the right thing, even though their prayers were not yet answered, right? It's a story of faithfulness, of belief in God. But God heard their prayers, right? God came. And when did God send Gabriel? At the right time, right? Everybody say that with me, at the right time. Right? It's the right time that God answered that prayer. It's always about God's timing. And God says, listen, I have a purpose, I have a plan, and I will accomplish it in my time. I want you to think with me for a moment about the timing of this incredible story. We learn that Zechariah was a descendant of Aaron, therefore he was a priest. He was in one division that gets mentioned, but at that time there were 24 different divisions of priests that served at the temple, the one temple, the Jerusalem. So they estimated there were 18,000 priests living in Jerusalem at that time that served. So as such, each individual priest would only serve 2 weeks every year. So they would serve 2 weeks out of the year, not necessarily together, but they'd have two different weeks that they would serve. So this appearance was at one of those appointed times that Zechariah and his division was chosen to be at the temple. And then they drew lots to see who would go into the altar, to the table in the temple, and who would light the incense, which represented prayers going up to God. And that was only one person at a time out of all those people. So they estimate that each priest only got to do that once in their life. So at the once in a lifetime opportunity, that Zechariah is in the altar in the presence of God during the week that happened to be when his division was on duty. At the proper time, at the right time, God came to him. And God spoke to him. And God revealed this to him. Isn't that amazing? And the word, I think, for us today is God hears your prayers. And he will answer according to his timing, right? Because some of us have been praying for things for a long time, right? Some of us are wondering, has God heard my prayers? You need to know that God hears your prayers. Amen. God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers and he will answer your prayers. And his timing is always right. His timing is always right. It doesn't mean we don't get frustrated. I understand the frustration. It doesn't mean we don't even get upset and angry, right? I understand that. Because people who follow God throughout all of history have cried out, how long, O Lord? How long will there be injustice? How long will people be hungry? How long until we're free? How long until I can experience your presence? Until like the situation there, maybe you've never really even felt the presence of God in a powerful way yet. Maybe you haven't. But my word is you don't give up. Stay faithful. Keep doing the right things. And put yourself in a place of worship. Amen. And you will experience the glory of God. You will. And he will answer your prayer. Don't give up, even though it may have been a long time or even a short time. We know that God always hears our prayers. What's the second thing we learn? That God reveals his plan. That's what I love so much about this story. So what is the plan that God has? Well, he's going to send Jesus Christ, right? To be the Savior of the world. But before that, he's going to send someone else to prepare the way for the one, right? So this message of good news is really about God is going to send one who will prepare the way for the one. You see, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. God also prepares us for what he's going to do, right? I mean, he sends someone to prepare the way. And before he sends that someone, he prepares Zechariah by visiting him, by speaking the word of the Lord, saying, listen, I know you're an old dude, but this is going to happen, okay? The Lord is about to do something amazing in your life, and you need to know that this is about to happen. And then it happens. And of course, John the Baptist came. And when John the Baptist preached, he told people, listen, something's about to happen, right? Something's about to come. And I'm sent here to prepare you for it, to get you ready for it, because something is about to happen. And then we'll find out next week about Gabriel going to Mary. Say, hey, Mary, something's about to happen, right? Right? Let me just do this because it's fun. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's about to happen. Come on, say, tell them something's about to happen, right? Because do you believe it? Does anybody believe it? Anybody? I believe it. I believe something is about to happen, you know? Because that's how God works. Listen, excuse me, he always reveals it. So even with the coming of Jesus, the Savior of the world, he planted seeds in all of the prophets and in the literature for hundreds and thousands of years. He planted seeds. There were signs that Jesus was coming. There are signs that God is at work, okay? God is not just going to do something. He's not just going to prepare us for it, but he's going to plant seeds and signs of what's coming, amen? And we need to pay attention to those. So if you're someone like me who's waiting for God, come on, God, I want to see this big plan, right? You need to know, we need to look for the signs. That's what we need to be about. We need to be looking for where God is at work, seeing what's happening. And where do you find the signs of God? Wherever you see love. True love and self-sacrifice. That's where God is. Wherever there is joy, wherever someone even against all odds has this kind of joy. And some of you know what I'm talking about. We've seen joy in some of the most depressing places in the world.
Amen.
People who have no right to have any joy have this joy flowing out of them. I'm like, man, that's God.
Amen.
That's the presence of God. Where there is reconciliation, where there is coming together instead of tearing apart, that's where God is. We need to look for the signs of what he's doing, right? Because there will be other signs. The devil will plant other stuff to mess us up, you know, to say, no, this is not happening. But like the wheat and the tares that grow together, amen, that we know that God has planted signs that are growing up right alongside of that.
Amen.
And we need to open our eyes and watch for it. Because here's the thing that's amazing, is that your prayers that you've been praying, right? Has anybody been praying a prayer for a long time? Okay. When God answers your prayer, it's going to be part of a bigger plan. God answered Zachary and Elizabeth's prayer, but he said, listen, it's part of a bigger plan. It's part of something even greater that I'm going to do, not just for you, but for the world. And it wasn't one of those things where he said, oh, your request is not important. I've got these bigger plans. No, no, your request is important. And even though you only wanted a child out of it, I'm going to answer your request, and I'm going to make it part of something bigger and something greater. Isn't that wonderful? Something greater than we can imagine. That's what I want to say about God's plan. Oh, man, it's so much greater, so much more amazing than we can even possibly think, right? Because Zachary and Elizabeth, they wanted a child, but the child that was going to come was going to be great. Did you hear all the stuff that was read about John the Baptist? I mean, he will be a delight and a joy to many. Wow, how would you like if people say that about your life, amen? And you come to the end of their life, you know what? She was a delight and a joy to many people. You'd be like, yeah, that's pretty good. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from before he was born. Dude was jumping in the Spirit in the womb. He came out kicking and raising his hand and praising God. He operated in the power of God his entire life.
Amen.
It says that he brought many people back together. He restored and connected and empowered people in their relationships with one another. And he also restored, connected, and empowered people in their relationship with God because they needed to be prepared for what God was about to do. It's an amazing plan. An amazing, wonderful plan. One of the promises we have from Scripture, if we can put those up, the promises of God about his plans, I wanted us to just reflect on this morning. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, according to his power and his work within us. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that? God can do more, immeasurably more, than all you can ask or even imagine. So the prayers that you're praying, God's like, I got that, and I can do so much more. And you're like, well, God, I can imagine a lot more. God's like, I can do even more than that. What can you imagine? What kind of world do you want to live in? What kind of life do you want to have? God can answer your prayers, but God can do even more than that. And God takes your life, and he makes it a part of something bigger than he's doing. And he says, listen, this is about all of my children, all of my creation. Yes, you are going to experience the joy of this moment, Zechariah and Elizabeth, even at the last hour, even at the last minute, when you thought there was no more hope, when you thought God wasn't going to answer, when you said, I'm too old. God said, yes, I will do it. I will do it. And it will be part of something great, part of something amazing. Part of something that just literally blows our minds because that's how great and how wonderful God is. And that brings me to my last point. God will do it. Amen? God will do it. What he says, he will do. The word of God that goes out from his mouth, it will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. He said it will. My word will come true. And we find that in that wonderful, humorous, I think sometimes, interaction with Zechariah and Gabriel. So here is Gabriel. You know, an angel of the Lord. I mean, Zechariah is in the presence of God. I mean, he knows that God dwells there. He knows how important this is. He's burning incense to symbolize prayers when in the presence of God. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If at any point God is going to show up, it would be then. I would be going in thinking this might be the place that God is going to show up, right? Because I've been faithful my whole life. I've been faithful to God my whole life. Now I'm in this place. God showed, but what happens when Gabriel shows up? He doesn't expect it, right? Is it possible to be faithful to God and still not expect him to show up? He's not expecting it, right? He is not expecting God to show up. And when God does show up and Gabriel says, here's the word of the Lord, here's what's going to happen, does he go, yes, thank you? No, he doubts it. He's like, you sure, God? Because I don't know if you know, but I'm old. Like, God doesn't know that. Like, God doesn't know what his body's been doing for the last however many years, right? He's like, God, I'm totally skeptical. He doesn't believe it at first. He's not expecting it. And is there a word of good news for you this morning? Because even if you are doubtful and unexpected and not sure, God can still answer your prayer. God can still answer your prayer because it's God's plan. It's God's purpose, and he will do it. So what does he tell Zachary? He said, listen, you're talking back to me. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord, all right? And listen, this is going to happen. You need to understand that. But there are consequences for unbelief. He says, you're not going to speak until this happens. It's almost as if Gabriel was saying, why don't you be quiet for a minute and watch what God's going to do? In fact, not just a minute, why don't you be quiet this whole pregnancy, okay? And you won't even be able to share this good news, because when we receive good news, man, we want to share it, right? And we're like, I want to share this with everybody. He's like, no, you can't talk. Today he would say, no, I'm suspending your Facebook account. No, no texting. No, you're not going to have any communication with anybody. And he comes out trying to make all these signs, and people are like, ooh, what's going on? No, really, Zachariah, what's going on? You can't talk. They're like, oh. And then the people get it, right? Oh, he must have seen a vision from God, People are like, well, that must explain what's happening here. And he tries to tell them, and he doesn't understand what's going on. But God said he will do it. And he did it. But sometimes there's consequences for our unbelief. I want to think for a minute about Elizabeth as well. Elizabeth, also in this story, in a beautiful way, you see her named as a woman in the story. Not only named, but she has the same heritage. She is also a descendant of Aaron. It's very unusual. I don't find many places where a woman is listed as being a descendant of Aaron, because the priesthood was for the men. But she was also a descendant of Aaron. And she was also righteous in everything that she did, and she continued to worship the Lord. And just think for a moment, if you can, what it must have felt like to pray to God for a child and to wait all of those years, to suffer that disappointment, that heartache, wondering if something was wrong, wondering if God had a reason that he wasn't sending a child to her, because not being with child had brought her dishonor and disgrace. But she remained faithful. She didn't give up. She didn't give up on her husband, and she didn't give up on God.
Amen.
Not because she knew she was strong, not because she knew her husband was strong, but because she believed in a God that was strong enough to take care of her. She remained faithful, and God answered her prayer. And how did she receive it? How did she receive the news? Well, if I can get real for a minute, they slept together and had a baby. This wasn't a miraculous birth like we're going to see next week with Jesus. What does that mean? They participated in the promise, right? They participated. They heard the word of the Lord. God was going to do it, but they still had the joy of participating in the promise by coming together and producing a child. We participate with God in his promises. God's word will come true, but we participate in it. And we get the joy that comes from joining with God in his work. And then she went into seclusion for a few months. I'm not exactly sure why. There's a couple of possibilities. Maybe it was better for her to be alone for a while. Maybe she joined her husband in the solidarity of his, thing he had to deal with, not being able to speak. Maybe she said, you know what? I'm just going to be with you for a while, and I'm not going to speak either. Let's just be in seclusion together. Let's trust God in this quiet place. But then she speaks, and she says, the Lord has removed my dishonor and disgrace. Amen? Amen. That's what God did for her. He answered her prayer. She participated in it. She spent some time alone with her husband, and her disgrace and her dishonor were removed. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that a glorious thing? That's a blessing I pray for everyone, that everyone will receive. So my question to you today is simply this. It's finally this as we wrap up. Where do you find yourself in the story today? Where do you find yourself? Have you been one who's prayed for something for a long time? A long time, and you're wondering if God has heard you? You need to know that God has heard you. Remain faithful. Dwell in his presence. Maybe that's the word you need to hear. You need to know today to be encouraged that you are part of God's plan for your life, yes, and for something better as well.
Amen.
See, what we need to do is, can we dwell in the presence of God? Can we experience his glory? Let his glory fall in this place. Can we see angels?
walking around in this place? I don't know. I met a man once at the church I was at years ago.
He was the janitor of the church. His name was Fred. And someone came up to me one day and said, "Oh, have you met Fred?" I said, "Yeah, I met Fred." He said, "Well, there's something a little strange about Fred." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, Fred sees Jesus." I'm like, "I praise the Lord." He's like, no, he sees Jesus. I'm like, "You mean like sees Jesus? Like, yeah, he sees Jesus walk in and come down sanctuary, and he sees Jesus kneel down, and he sees Jesus sit here." And I thought, well, it must just be, you know, like that's a nice way of saying, you know, he experiences the presence of God. So I said, "Fred, I hear you see Jesus." And his eyes were like, "Oh, yes, I do." And all of a sudden, I knew it was real for Fred. He said, "I see Jesus walking around this place. I see Jesus praying. I see Jesus sitting down with people. Who am I to say that he doesn't see Jesus? Or that he doesn't see an angel that's been sent by Jesus to minister in the presence of the Lord?" We gather to experience that presence of God, don't we? We gather to experience his presence. And one day I pray that glory that we sang about, I see heaven falling in this place. I see angels. I see people being healed. I see hope being restored. That would be in this place. Amen. Let's put up the last slide. Here's my point today, and this is what I want you to remember. I want to invite you to dwell in the presence of God. And God is everywhere. Practice becoming aware of his presence. Then we can hear his voice, his heart, and discover his plans and purposes for us and for the world. Let's dwell in the presence of the Lord, shall we? I invite you right now to pray. I invite you right now to maybe close your eyes. Maybe lift your eyes, however you feel. I just pray in this moment that you would experience God's presence. Practice right now becoming aware that God is here with you. That Jesus is in this room. That Jesus is next to you. Lord God, open our eyes to see your glory in this place. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience your glory. Let us become more aware of your presence in this place. Just continue to pray and meditate on the presence of God. And I pray that you would hear his voice in his heart, that you would discover his plans for you and for the world. Lord, speak to us. Let us hear your voice, God. I see heaven invading this place. I see angels praising your holy name. I see glory falling in this place. I see hope restored, the healing of all diseases. We give you all of the praise and all of the honor, for you alone are God. You alone are God. What you say, you will do. What you say, you will do. I'm just going to give us a moment just to soak in the presence of God this morning.